TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
It is raised by wolves. It is Manny Hill and Danny Cunningham recording on a Monday afternoon.
Not just a Monday afternoon.
A cold and snowy Monday afternoon. Well, it's not really snowing, but it's just got dumped on pretty good last night.
Oh, man, that sucked.
Now, you were
it's
going to
be a cold week, too.
Yeah, it's going to be miserable. You were at the game last night. Did you have to deal with any... Because most of the snow didn't come till after the game was over.
So I my ride home wasn't that bad. Like there was snow on the ground, and I actually left as soon as the locker room availability was done. Like I typically, on a normal game that's not affected by a snowstorm, I'll write in the media room inside Target Center and post, and then leave once I'm done writing. But as soon as I got out of the locker room last night after that game, I went back to the media room, got my stuff together, and went and got my car and drove home. And I just worked from home last night instead because I didn't want to have to wait and be tired and driving and that. And I figured that my normal 8 or 10 minute drive from Target Center was going to be a little bit longer than normal. So it took me about 15 or 20 minutes to get home, but I made it. So not bad.
On the game last night, I watched a little bit of it. You know, I kind of ducked in and out. You know, I was watching.
Were you watching the Pro Bowl?
No, I was watching the Royal Rumble, actually.
Oh, right. It was a big WWE night.
Yeah, yeah. You're not much of a wrestling guy, are you?
I was never into it when I was younger, and I feel like for someone that's worked in the sports radio industry, or really just the sports media industry in general, almost everyone is a big WWE fan, and I'm just the outlier in that. Like, I've never had any interest in wrestling.
See, I grew up, well, I shouldn't say I grew up, but I got into wrestling when I was in high school, and that was like right in the teeth of the Attitude Era with like Steve Austin and The Rock and Triple H and all those guys. That was like the best time, like their most financially successful time, their highest ratings, all of that stuff.
Sure. And so, yeah.
But it's not nearly as good a product anymore as it. But you know, the Royal Rumble is still fun because it's a once a year type of thing, and it's kind of a more of an event than it is like an actual pay-per-view. So it was pretty cool. But so on the game last night, though, like what were some of your takeaways? Utah comes in and you know, they basically sweep the home and home thing over the weekend.
So the Wolves are just kind of running out of bodies more than anything.
Yeah.
Like Wiggins played well, Cat played well. But when you're trotting out Jared Bayless and Luol Deng for a combined 61 minutes in a game, it's not going to go in your favor. And that's no slight to those two because they played well, but they're just not – the Wolves don't have any depth right now. They don't have any bullets to fire. By the end of that game, Jared Bayless looked gassed. He's played 40 minutes and 36 minutes in back-to-back game in 3 days. Like, that's not what Jared Bayless's season was supposed to be with the Wolves. And sure, I know he's happy that he's actually getting playing time right now, and it's great, and I know Luol feels the same way, but this isn't what the Wolves envisioned. This is a tough cards for Ryan Saunders to be dealt in his first couple of weeks.
And Luol Deng is giving them a lot more than I even imagined him
scored
giving
15
them.
Points yesterday for the first time since February of 2017.
That's unbelievable. Like, he's giving them so much more than I even expected. Like, you can even ask Judd this. When they signed him, like, I had, like, a Matthew Collar type of meltdown on the air because I basically said, Luol Deng is just cooked. He's done. He's got nothing left. Now, he's added a lot in, you know, behind the scenes in the locker room.
Yes.
But, you know, from my perspective, it was just like the on-the-court stuff. There just wasn't a whole lot left. And he's given them a lot more. It hasn't been a lot in the grand scheme of things, but he's given them a lot more than I anticipated he would.
How's this for an indictment on Tibbs? So Luol signed. Everyone thought, oh, he's just a Tibbs guy. This is Tibbs throwing a bone to one of his guys. He can't play. Tibbs refuses to play him. Ryan Saunders comes in. Ryan Saunders plays him, and Luol can play. How much of an indictment is that on Tom Thibodeau? That Tom Thibodeau could not realize that his guy in Luol Deng,
his guy,
still had something left in the tank. How much of an indictment is that? And I know I don't want to beat that dead horse because we've talked about that ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
But how is that the one thing that, like, really? That's the guy that you didn't think couldn't play? That you thought couldn't play and can? Your guy? Like, of all the people that we thought, Luol Deng, really? And good for Luol.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see him be able to do this. And it's awesome that Ryan Saunders has been able to lean upon him and go to him in these stretches. But how did Tibbs not realize this at all?
Has Ryan Saunders re-unlocked Luol Deng?
I think re-unlocking him involves, I mean, it's in all seriousness. It's great that he's been able to give the Wolves what they have, what he's been able to. But, man, the Wolves can't rely on this. Like, it is just not a good recipe for them at all.
Yeah, it's been I just – everything that he's given them in the last few weeks has just been, like, it's been cherry on top. Like, you just can't – you can't possibly expect any more than what he's been giving them already. Okay.
No, you can't. No way you can. I mean, if you would have told me on November 11th, the day after the Jimmy Butler trade, I think it was November 10th they made that deal. If you would have told me on that day that in January, in a game that really matters, the Minnesota Timberwolves would be playing Gorgui, Luol Deng, Jared Bayless, Josh Okogie, and Dario Saric in a lineup to start the fourth quarter of a game down by five. What would you have said?
I would have said you were insane.
Because that's what happened last night.
Yeah.
That's where the Wolves are at right now. They just don't have healthy bodies. They need Tyus back. They need Jeff back. They need Derek back. They need Covington back. Like, they just, they don't have anywhere else to turn. I mean, Jared Terrell's getting minutes, like legitimate minutes here. They just, they're out of bodies.
Yeah, and they need to get those guys back as soon as possible. What do we know on Tyus? Is it like still a couple of weeks away or like a week away?
We haven't really gotten much of an update.
Because it was just a sprain, right? It wasn't a high ankle sprain like people thought.
He is out of the walking boot, which is good. I've seen him. I mean, yesterday he was sitting on the bench with the Wolves and like a t-shirt and a suit jacket, and he had on Nike VaporMaxes, so it's not like he's wearing a walking boot still. So that's a positive sign. I've seen him riding the stationary bike at the practice facility last week without a walking boot on. So, I mean, he is progressing. I don't know how far away he is from being back on the court, though. I mean, Robert Covington is starting to do some things. I don't know how strenuous they are and if they involve... I know they don't involve contact yet, if they involve cutting or running or jumping at all, but I know he's doing things. I mean, it's a start, but I wouldn't expect either one of them to be in the lineup tomorrow or even this weekend. Like, I think it's still a little ways off. I think Derek is close. I think Jeff is probably close. But for Tyus and Covington, I think they're a ways away from being back on the floor.
Man.
And it kills the Wolves. It really does.
It just you can just see, like, because you have guys that, all due respect to them, are getting heavy minutes that shouldn't be getting heavy minutes because of how shorthanded they are. Okay, jumping to the rest of the association now. Woj dropped a bit of a bomb this morning.
Yeah, so some news happened today, man.
Yeah, Woj dropped a bit of a bomb this morning that Anthony Davis. Mostly everybody around the league calls him the Brow. Wants a trade. Wants out of New
Actually,
Orleans.
I think more people call him AD than the Brow.
AD.
I think he's known by AD more so than he's known by the Brow.
Okay. I've heard both.
I hear AD far more than the Brow. I don't hear the Brow that often.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard the Brow.
We must not be hanging out in the same circles.
Yeah, we follow different people, maybe. I don't know. But no, so he wants out, and now the bidding war commences, I guess, between, you know, so many different teams. The Celtics are being talked about. The Lakers, obviously, with the, you know, with them being the Lakers and the Rich Paul connection and LeBron and all that stuff.
And there are a few different places, I think, that haven't been mentioned that he could go. And also, Chris Haynes of Yahoo just reported that Boston's not a top priority for Anthony Davis. It's not a target for him. Boston might not want to be where he wants to land up. This is from what Chris Haynes wrote in Yahoo. He said, regarding team preferences, Boston is not a top target for Davis, sources said. There's a growing belief of uncertainty that Kyrie Irving will not re-sign with Boston, sources said, even though he vowed to do so at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Not great. Huh. Not great for the Boston Celtics, but
because they have the ammunition to get him,
but they can't. They cannot trade him. They cannot trade for him until the summer. They legally cannot trade for him right now.
Oh, because the protection on some of the picks that they have.
No. Because he and Kyrie got the same type of rookie extension.
Oh, okay.
And you're only allowed, per the collective bargaining agreement, you're only allowed to have one player on that extension on your team. Kyrie Irving is Boston's. He signed that deal, obviously, when he was in Cleveland.
But it's the contract carries over when you get moved, yeah.
Exactly. So, if that's the case, he can't go, and it is the case, the only way the Celtics could trade for Anthony Davis is if Kyrie Irving's on the way out right now. They can trade for him once July 1st hits, when Kyrie Irving becomes a free agent. Then, obviously, they can re-sign Kyrie to a new deal. They can trade for Anthony Davis. But until July 1st, if Kyrie Irving is on the Boston Celtics roster, Anthony Davis is not allowed to be on the Boston Celtics roster.
Wow. Huh.
How about that?
How about them apples? So then, okay, well.
So that's why I think that all these signs are pointing towards L.A. Because now the Lakers have a bit of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with that news that Chris Haynes reporting that there is growing uncertainty about Irving's future in Boston. Because if Kyrie Irving's not there, sorry, the Boston Celtics are not going to be that good. Mm-hmm. Al Horford's days as a elite player are over. He's still a very good player. He's not elite. But he can't be the centerpiece of a team that wins you a title. Jason Tatum was great in the playoffs last year, but he's regressed. Jaylen Brown has not been very good. Jaylen Brown has essentially been Rodney Hood this year, which I'm sorry, if he's your number three overall draft pick, that's not the goal.
Terry Rozier
might be on his way out too. He's a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
You'll never convince me that Marcus Smart's a good basketball player. All he does is fall. I mean,
and agitate.
Yeah, he's annoying, and you need that. But he's not like a. I don't trust him with the ball in his hands ever. Like, I just don't think Boston's a good spot for Anthony Davis. If Kyrie's not there, it doesn't make sense. And Kyrie's your one winner on that team. Kyrie's the dude with a ring there. No one else does. No one else on the team knows how to win a title. Kyrie does. Kyrie hit arguably the most important shot in NBA history. Kyrie's shot broke the NBA.
Yeah.
If Kyrie's not in Boston, why would Anthony Davis want to be there? I think if the Pelicans want to wait until the summer to trade him, as it sounds like they do, because everything that's been reported, whether it's been by Yahoo or ESPN, has been that they don't feel pressure to move him by the February 7th NBA trade deadline. If the New York Knicks get the number one pick in this year's draft, I think that's where the conversation starts.
Really?
If it happens before then, I think the Lakers are in the lead right now. Now, I'm not high in the Lakers young core. Like, I don't think the Lakers have a good young core. I don't think Lonzo Ball is a very good basketball player. Brandon Ingram is another version of Ricky Davis, or just a little bit taller and skinnier.
Josh Hart's a nice player, but
he's a role player. Josh Hart is like the seventh best player on a team that wins a title. Kyle Kuzma is like the fourth. Brandon Ingram, you hoped, would be like number two or number three, but he's not. Lonzo Ball, at this point, he'll never be anything more than the fifth or sixth best player on a really good team. That's just where they're at right now. That's what their young core is. They've been overvalued. So maybe Del Demps, New Orleans GM, has a different opinion than I do on those players. Very well could. But right now, I don't know. If you're New Orleans, you're not thrilled about any of this, and you're never going to get.
You're never going to get fair value back.
Yes. The trade that's gotten the closest thing to fair value is the Paul George deal, Indiana OKC. That's the closest fair value thing we've seen, because Victor Oladipo exploded into a star, and Sabonis is arguably going to be the sixth man of the year this year. Now, obviously, what happened to Oladipo's leg is terrible, and you don't wish that on anybody, but that was very close to fair value. And Paul George is an MVP candidate. So, yeah, that was the closest thing to fair value. But Kyrie's trade with the Cavs, not fair value. I mean, what other trades involving stars have you seen fair value?
Trying to think. None.
You're not going to get it for Anthony. You are not going to get Anthony Davis level talent for Anthony Davis. You just can't do it. You can get a lot back for him, but it'll never add up to be Anthony Davis. If you're the Pelicans, your best bet is to just go fire sale here. Sell off Anthony Davis. Sell off Drew Holiday. Get what you can. Nikola Mirotic. Sell these guys off. Julius Randle.
I was just going to ask, is Randle a guy you'd hold on to or you'd ship him off to? I mean, are you saying that the Pelicans should just go all out like Sixers process mode?
I mean, Julius Randle's only on a two-year deal. So it's not like, oh, he's a building block for the future because he could be gone. Like, sure. He could just be like, see ya. Mm-hmm. See you later. So I do think the process mode is probably the right way to go for them. But my worry is with Anthony Davis gone, I mean, that's not a basketball market. Like, they don't care about basketball. That is the team in the NBA with the least media coverage. They're 26th in attendance. How much longer
it's a
is
Saints
basketball?
Town.
How much? They'll never be anything higher than third. Like, the joke is that LSU gymnastics, more people care about that than the Pelicans there. Because it's always going to be the Saints, and then it's going to be LSU football always.
Yeah.
Is basketball always going to be in New Orleans? If Anthony Davis is gone, could that fan base survive a rebuild right now?
Man.
And this is incredibly reckless to talk about, but
sure.
It's worth it.
Well, and you'd look at where they're at right now with Anthony Davis, like they're not going anywhere with him. As good as he is, as terrific as he is, they're not going anywhere with him right now. So you
and
do have to wonder if they do need
not
to just
a,
blow the
their
whole
roster
thing
is not as bad as their record. I mean, Drew Holiday is a really good player. Etuan Moore has shown signs. Solomon Hill, not bad. Nikola Mirotic, good. Alfred Payton has shown signs. Julius Randle's been good. Like, they've got some players. They just, it didn't work. And you feel for that organization because they didn't maximize him, sure.
Yeah.
But they're losing him. And that sucks. Like, it's just how it is.
In some ways, it was a lot like, I mean, the only reason why they got Anthony Davis in the first place was because they had Chris Paul and they traded him away, which led to them being terrible, and they got the number one overall pick.
They shouldn't have even got that pick. That pick should have been Charlotte's. The Bobcat. That was the year the Bobcats won seven games.
Seven games.
That was the lockout. It was the lockout shortened season.
They went 7-59. Yeah,
and didn't win the lottery. And then you have teams.
Wolves fans know about that.
And then you have teams like a couple years later, the Cavs. They win like 31 games, I think it was, and they win the lottery and pick Andrew Wiggins. Like, it's just it's how it works, man.
The Cavs have won the lottery four times, if I'm not mistaken. LeBron.
LeBron, Kyrie. Anthony Bennett.
And Wiggins.
Wiggins, yeah. They're going to win it a fifth this year.
You're convinced of that.
Dude, the Cavs don't lose lotteries. Am I wrong for being convinced of that? Like, what evidence do you can you present against me that the Cavs are not going to win the lottery? Like, that's just how it works.
The only evidence that I can, or it's not really evidence, but it's purely speculation. The only way I could see that the Cavs don't is because the Knicks have not won it in forever.
They got Kristaps, though. They're good. The Cavs don't have anybody. And I think that, so let's.
I'm
let's
tired just, of the Cavs winning the lottery.
All right, Bill Simmons. Let's go conspiracy theories here.
Okay.
I think that the lottery was fixed between 2011 and 2014. I think it was fixed. I think that the NBA really wanted a rivalry between LeBron and Cleveland.
So they
tried to set the Cavs up as good as they could possibly make them. And then LeBron went back and
then
Cavs
they
won a title.
Helping them because they
won them a title because they had Kyrie Irving and they were able to trade another one for Kevin Love. But I think that the NBA fixed the lottery from 2011 to 2014.
So you think they're going to try and fix it again?
No, the Cavs just don't lose lotteries, man. That's how it is. Because even, so the Kyrie
Certainly
pick,
as long as Daniel Gilbert's owning the team.
The Kyrie pick, when they drafted Kyrie, that was not Cleveland's pick that won the lottery. The Cavs pick, the Cavs had the worst record and they didn't win the lottery.
Yeah,
like
that was the top three pick. Tristan Thompson got taken,
their
too.
Their pick was Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
The Clippers pick was Kyrie Irving. They got the Clippers pick in like the Baron Davis trade.
That's right.
They got an unprotected one from the Clippers, and that was kind of like there were two trades that changed the way we looked at first-round pick. It was the Boston trade with Brooklyn that sent Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett for basically every Brooklyn Nets first-round pick in the past decade, it feels like. And the Kyrie trade, the Clippers-Cavs-Baron Davis trade that got them Kyrie Irving, because the Clippers sent an unprotected one like, yeah, whatever. And it had like a 4% chance or whatever. Or it might have even been like 1.8% chance to get the pick. Boom. Cavs got Kyrie.
It is amazing how when you watch teams trade first round picks, especially unprotected ones, and you see what they can eventually turn into. You know, and you're not even when these teams are making the deals at the time, they're certainly not thinking about it. Well, this pick might turn into this.
Well, I mean, look
this,
how many teams have just been reckless with first-round draft picks. Just reckless.
Wolves were forever.
Yeah, the first-round draft picks were not treated like – were not held in high regard until after that KG trade between Boston and the Nets. Like, they just weren't held the same way as they are right now. Like, now you protect your first-round picks as if it's gold and – then you're like, this is just a pick. Like, whatever. Who cares? We want the player. Which I get that, but it's really changed our outlook on things.
I remember the Wolves, when the Wolves traded Sam Cassell to the Clippers for Marko Jaric, and they signed, it was like a sign and trade thing with Marko Jaric. And they gave Marko Jaric a 6-38, I think. Which at that time was just massive. And they traded Sam Cassell and a first-round pick to the Clippers for Marko Jaric. And that first-round pick didn't actually materialize until like 5 or 6 years later. That pick ended up being Austin Rivers.
Isn't it crazy to follow draft picks like that?
Yeah, because the Clippers had the pick because the Wolves eventually just had to give it to them because the protection ran out after a number of years. The Clippers used that pick as part of – they sent it to New Orleans to get Chris Paul. It was part of the Chris Paul trade to get – for him to go from the Hornets to the Clippers. And that pick – I think it was like the 10th pick in that draft, and it ended up being Austin Rivers.
Like my favorite thing and when the Jimmy Butler thing was going on here and the Houston Rockets offered 4 first-round draft picks, the Wolves could have gotten a pick in 2019, 2021, 2023, and 2025. They could have gotten a first-round draft pick from the Rockets.
And who knows what that pick is going to look like in 2025.
Well, I mean, what the protection would have been or whatever.
Right.
But crazy. I love looking at picks like that. It's so much fun to follow them.
So what's your gut feeling tell you on where AD ends up?
He's going to L.A. I think it's L.A., man, because if you connect the dots, who's Anthony Davis's agent?
Rich Paul.
Who's LeBron James's agent?
Rich Paul.
You know, makes a little bit of sense to put some pressure on the Lakers. There's pressure there. Maybe to put a little bit of pressure on the Pelicans right now. Hey, maybe this could be a match. Hey, maybe the Lakers aren't suited for a playoff run right now.
But if you're Dell Demps, like we talked about earlier, though, if you're Dell Demps, do you feel a sense of urgency to make a deal right now?
You don't because you're going to wait for Boston, but... what did we just see Chris Haynes report? That Anthony Davis doesn't have interest in Boston. That is, my friend, the Anthony Davis camp trying to dictate where he wants to go. He's trying to facilitate a move to the Lakers without saying, trade me to the Lakers. He's trying to scare Boston and Danny Ainge away. That's what he's trying to do. Because if he scares them away, who else is going to be able to offer something?
I love this.
How it works, man.
I love this league so much.
How great is it that the Monday of Super Bowl week, if there is a week during the football season, if there is a week in 2019 during the basketball season, which the NBA is not the first priority, it is this one. Rich Paul and Anthony Davis changed that. They dropped a bomb that ensured the NBA was going to be the lead talking point on every show.
Including this podcast.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't have talked about the Super Bowl anyways. But man.
Yeah. It's
the NBA owns so the off-the-court stuff. They own it, man. They do such a good job keeping conversation rolling. Better than any of the other leagues.
Yeah. And even so much of the stuff gets talked about even more so than the games themselves. Like, look at the we talked about Wolves Jazz game. We talked about the Wolves Jazz game from last night for like 3 minutes of this podcast.
Wiggins played well.
He did play well.
35.
Yeah, 35.
23 shots, not bad, man.
Yeah. How many rebounds did he get?
Like, he only had 3 last night. It was his lowest under Saunders. But he's averaging 7 boards a game since Saunders took over.
I mean,
I wrote about that a little bit last night. His points per game under – actually, let me pull it back up. His points per game under Tibbs versus – like, he has improved in a lot of categories since Saunders took over as compared to when Tibbs was the coach. In the 36 games that Tibbs was in charge for Andrew Wiggins this year, he averaged 17.3 points and 3.9 rebounds a game. Since changing, Wiggins is up to 21 points a game and 7 rebounds. So there have been tangible improvements. Now, granted,
where is it coming from, though? That's, I mean,
what do you mean?
How have the rebounding numbers gone up?
I think he's been more engaged. Rebounding is an effort thing. Yeah. You can never tell me anything otherwise. It's effort and technique. If you box out somebody, you can and do it well enough, you can get a rebound. It doesn't matter how athletic you are. Now, sure, some rebounds you just get by being athletic or by being in the right place at the right time. But I think he's been more engaged. I think he's kind of floated around a little bit less. There still have been some instances where he has floated. But there have also been some instances where he's looked engaged. And I know that the points per game total is a bit inflated because he had 40 against OKC and he had 35 last night. But he still did those things. Like, he still had two. He still had two of his better games, probably his two best games of the season in a 10-game stretch. It's. I'm not saying that he's turned the corner, but he's turned a corner.
We're seeing we're seeing some differences.
Like, he hasn't turned the corner. I'm not saying that, but he's turned a less significant corner. Like, how you know, like, if you're on a side street, you got to turn one corner and then you get closer to the main road. That's kind of what he did. Like, he still might have a couple more twists and turns to take, but it's closer. If that makes sense to put it into Google Maps perspective.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes total sense.
I thought so too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for us here. We'll see where Anthony Davis ends up.
We'll be back tomorrow, so he might not be on the Pelicans tomorrow, but he might be. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. We'll have Dane with us tomorrow. Be sure to check out this podcast.
Stay warm.
Yeah, please stay warm. It's going to be even colder tomorrow than what it was today. Maybe even colder than that on Wednesday. But nonetheless, find this podcast on iTunes, podcast1.com, and the all-new scorenorth.com as well. Follow Danny at Real D Cunningham. Follow me at Manny Hill 84. Dane will be with us for a new edition of Raised by Wolves tomorrow. Until then, enjoy your NBA basketball. We'll talk to you next time.